Welcome to the Gravel Notes podcast with Tom Howards. I'm your host, Martin Lee. And let's check in with Tom after another brilliant weekend of rally as the WRC headed to Spain and the asphalt roads. Penultimate round. Yes, we have Cali Rovanpera with his title under his belt now, but a manufacturer's title to decide. And still lots of great action to watch anyway. Last we heard from you, Tom, you were down under and you were saying on the last podcast you were going to take a little holiday after covering New Zealand. Is that what you got to do? What have you been up to down under then?
Yeah, no, obviously for those that don't know me that well, I used to live in Australia for 7 years and worked out there in the motorsport circles out there. So, I went to work the Bathurst 1000 for this company with my good friend and colleague Andrew Van Leeuwen. So, yeah, the first time we've actually work together at an event. We've normally been rivals in the past, so it was quite an unusual situation, but I absolutely loved it. And if anyone, I know this is a rally podcast, but if anyone ever gets a chance to go to the Bathurst 1000, you should, because it really is a motorsport event like no other. So it really is a race that stops the nation out there. So awesome to be back in that paddock again, and then obviously caught up with a few friends and family the week after on the Gold Coast, which was lovely.
Lovely. And how's the jet lag? Is it still with you, or is it gone now?
Still a little bit there. Yeah, you're still. It's bizarre. I should really be sort of pro at this with the amount of travel I've done between Australia and here, but it still catches you by surprise, just when you least expect it.
Now, look, there was still lots to talk about with the Spanish rally, but before we get into that, after the event, we had that bombshell from Oit Tanak deciding to leave Hyundai early. I think the phrase that I read in your report was that he exercised a clause to leave early, so he's not just sort of ripping it up and storming out. But this is something that you and I have talked about on the podcast over the course of more recent times, about a growing dissatisfaction. Can you just fill us into the background of this and what Tanak said?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, just while Toyota were sort of celebrating their victory and wrapping up the manufacturer's crown, that the attention quickly shifted to Oit Tanak, who just hours after that decided to issue a quite lengthy statement with Hyundai confirming that he won't be driving for them next year, despite having a contract for 2023. So basically what's happened here is as you said, Tanak has a clause and has decided to enact that clause and will be leaving the team a year early, which is a bold move, it has to be said. But we, as you said, we have been talking about this for some time. Tanak's future in the WRC, and particularly at Hyundai, has been questionable. He's obviously clearly been unhappy with the reliability of the car this year, which has been, you know, months behind its rivals in its development. You know, we can go into the ins and outs of that, which sort of begin at the back end of last year when their team principal, Andrea Adamo, decided to leave the team at a critical moment while they're trying to get a brand new car together. And you know, that sort of lack of leadership has compounded into a car that was sort of behind its rivals, and they've been playing catch up ever since. But remarkably, Hyundai should take a lot of credit for actually improving this car to make it into a winning machine. And Tanak has actually delivered 3 wins in this car, even though it's not to his liking. So that just sort of shows a measure of the quality of driver that Tanak and Hyundai will certainly be losing with Tanak not being there next year. So it really does put the cat amongst the proverbial pigeons, because there's not a lot of options out there. We've only got Toyota, M Sport, which Tanak has driven for both of those teams in the past, it might add. So what actually happens to Tanak now is quite an interesting situation, and it will dictate the driver market for the rest of the service park. So it's a really big story. I think Tanak's options are interesting. Even in New Zealand, he said that he could actually sit out next season completely. There's all manner of options on there. He made this announcement and said that this was very much a personal decision. So he didn't really. The announcement really only said that it's time for a new challenge, the sort of classic cliche. But there isn't much more information other than that. But just to sort of clear a few things up, it does seem unlikely that he will end up at M Sport. M Sport, from a funding point of view, Tanak would be quite costly And the team themselves have said that, you know, it would be a massive stretch for us to be able to get him on board. So you could probably, you know, you never say never, but at this point in time, it looks unlikely he'll be heading in the M Sport direction, which then obviously only leaves Toyota as the current sort of Rally 1 established teams. And their team boss, Jari-Matti Latvala, has said he wants to keep the lineup of Rovanperä, Evans, Takamoto Katsuta, and the shared drive between Sebastian Ogier and Issa-Pekka Lappi. So, yeah, it's an interesting situation. And as Latvala said, like, you know, it's a classic case of if it ain't broke, why do we need to change it? And you can understand why you'd be quite happy to keep that lineup. But if a commodity like Tanak comes onto the market, someone, you know, with Toyota in Japan are probably going to be quite keen to at least take a look at that option. But it's a really interesting one because, you know, clearly Latvala wants to keep the team that he's got, but if it's not his decision at the end of the day, it's Toyota's. So, it's a case of does Tanak sit out the next season? Does he go to Toyota? M Sports is an option, but it's a slim one. Or does he have another plan up his sleeve? That's the other unknown. Does he have another plan? He could well do. He's got a lot of connections in the sport. So could he end up in a privateer car? You know, could he end up in something crazy like that? Who knows?
Look, second this year behind an absolutely dominant Rovanperä. Three wins. It's not like he's had a struggle to get points on the board, but from the sound of it, he feels it's been a struggle, swimming against the tide, and he just doesn't feel like that the atmosphere or the resources and all those things are there to do what he needs to do. He has nothing to prove as a world champion, but his talent is so off the charts, it would be a real shame not to see him driving next year.
Absolutely. It would be a massive loss to the WRC if he's not competing on rallies next year. But just to sort of go back to your sort of point there is that, you know, the writing has been on the wall here for some time because it very much is Thierry Neuville's team. Like, and Tanak was always going to come into that environment. So it was always going to be a challenge to sort of have those two characters in the same team, shall we say, because you know the driving styles are somewhat different, so how do you sort of build a car to suit both? You know, it was always gonna be a tricky one. And I guess the real key moment where I guess I thought this is not the team, this is not where I want to be, is the fact that, you know, if we go back to Acropolis Rally Greece, where Tanak was the best placed Hyundai driver in the championship. Yes, the championship battle was a slim one against Cali, but it wasn't over. And they decided not to run the team orders to switch places with Tanak and Neuville. So Neuville ended up winning the rally. He's probably taken that pretty hard, Tanak, because that's a big statement from Hyundai to say, look, we're backing this and not you. That's a big one and a hard one for someone of his stature to take. And if you recall, like, when he was asked about where he would be driving next year after that rally, he did say, we'll see next year. So it was very cryptic, as if to say, yeah, this isn't perhaps where I'm going to be. And he was openly critical of the lack of team orders and said it wasn't good for him, but it was good from a PR point of view. So you can understand from Tanak's point of view that, you know, he's not number one driver there. So but for Hyundai, it now creates quite a situation because they now need two drivers. Because
of course, because of Solberg.
Because in the break since we're the last podcast, they announced that they won't be renewing the deal with Oliver Solberg, who's sharing the third car with Sordo. So Hyundai said they want experienced drivers. Now, I'll be honest, my personal decision, I think that's not the right call. I think, yes, Oliver Solberg needs time, but the rallying needs to have a group of younger drivers coming through. Like, if we don't give these younger drivers time, this is not going to be conducive to the sport, you know, continuing in a strong, guise in the future. Like, we need the Cali Rovanperä, we need the Oliver Solbergs coming through, because eventually this sort of pool of talent that we keep relying on is just going to get too old, you know? Like, you need the younger drivers. So it's an interesting situation. We can obviously report and have reported that Solberg is in talks with M Sport for next year. I think that'd be a great fit for Oliver because M Sport is renowned for nurturing young talent. I'd love to see Oliver continue in the championship. He's a really good character. I think the WRC needs people like Oliver Solberg. Yes, you know, he's, you know, the results you can argue haven't been there, but you know, he's got to have some time. Like, doing a partial season is very difficult for a young driver to sort of get up to speed. He really does need a full season somewhere to at least see the potential, or just to give him a chance, you know. Yeah, it's a real interesting one for the service part. Now there's obviously rumors flying around like you wouldn't believe at the minute.
I can imagine. So, people are texting you and calling
you.
It's difficult to
work out what's true and what isn't, but certainly from a Hyundai's point of view, it does look like Andreas Mikkelsen probably is the favorite to land a seat at Hyundai next year. Also, the other interesting one that's cropped up is Chris Meek is on the shortlist for Hyundai. He now has said that he's open to doing a part-time season. He thinks that his full-time days are over. But I tell you what, a Sordo Chris Meek third car would be quite a quite an option for Hyundai, I think. So plenty going on in WRC at the minute.
And as we'll talk about in a minute, we'll get into the rally review, you know, with the more Toyota dominance. What Hyundai need is, as you say, to bring people through, because, and this is in no way it might sound disrespectful to Thierry Neuville, but if you cut him, he'll bleed Hyundai, right? But always the bridesmaid and never the bride. So those great seasons when he finished second in 2016, 17, 18, 19, he'll bring home wins like this year at Acropolis, and he can win rallies. You want him in your team, he's always going to score points, and he is brilliant as a great result over the weekend we've just had. But you have Toyota, you have Cali, you're entering a period where you probably just need just that little bit more spark inside the team.
I'm not sure I completely agree with you, but I know what you're saying.
Feel free to disagree, because like I say, I don't need to be disrespectful to Thierry, who is an amazing driver.
I know what you're getting at. You know, Thierry's had plenty of chances to deliver a world title, and he has been the bridesman a lot of times, but you do still feel like there is still that chance he could go and do it. But the more you see Cali Rovanpera in that Toyota, the more you think, well, how can anyone beat this guy? So it's an interesting one for Hyundai. They've gone with this policy of they want experienced drivers to make sure they get the results. But the problem with that is, as I said, is that how long can you do that for? Because eventually this pool of experienced drivers is gonna evaporate. There isn't going to be any left. So at some point, someone has got to bring through new talent, and factory teams need to do that. Like, we see it with Toyota. They've got Katsuta. They've chosen him as their sort of young driver, as someone to develop and bring into this pool. You know, they obviously, Hyundai did have Solberg, and M Sport has Formo and Greensmith and Lube. Like, they're trying, you know, to bring these new talents through. The other problem is obviously money. You know, the sport, unfortunately, is extremely expensive, and the times that we're living in are probably some of the worst times that we've experienced for such a period. So trying to get yourself in a Rally 1 seat at the moment is probably the hardest it's ever been. It's a real situation, but as I said, I hope we don't. That's not the last of Solberg. I hope we see him. Mm-hmm. But I also, you know, for Hyundai, it's an interesting policy to go down, and only time will tell if this is the correct way to go about it.
Let's get into our Rally Spain review then. I've mentioned already on the podium, Sebastian Ogier winning over the weekend. In second place, Thierry Neuville, and Cali Rovanpera in third in the penultimate event of the year before we head off to Japan not too long, in early November. So tell us the story of the rally and a winner who badly needed to taste victory, although I'm sure he, again, someone else with nothing to prove. But hey, these guys want to win. And so Sebastian Ogier finally winning in almost a year since he was on top of the podium. Tell us the story of Rally Spain.
You're absolutely right. I mean, as much as, like, you know, Ogier doesn't need to prove anything. He's got, you know, before this weekend, he had 54 wins, 8 world titles. He doesn't need to prove anything. But it is interesting to see you could see it on his face how desperate he was to win, which just is a mark of the man, really. Like, he's an absolute winning machine. He just has this desire to compete and be the best, even though he's only in a partial season this year. You know, he's just wants to be there and succeed. Like, it's something you have to admire. Like, And it was a vintage performance again from Ogier. It was a classic Ogier performance where got the lead sort of early on Friday afternoon, and once he's in front, he never looked back. Never, you know, in many ways, it was never really in doubt. I know he went up against Cali Rovanpera, and it was a sort of head-to-head of the old champion versus the new, which was quite a nice narrative. But on this case, you know, it's on tarmac, let's be honest, and it's not, this is sort of Ogier's sort of favoured, you could probably say, surface. So he was always going to be tough to beat no matter what, and Rovanpera did his best. Rovanpera actually had some sort of technical issues of his own, which are quite rare. On one of the stages, he had some settings were wrong on the car, and he had sort of scrambling around to try and fix them, which cost him a bit of time, and that sort of really started the sort of him falling away and dropping to third by the end of the rally. So, yeah, no, it was classic Ogier. Brilliant, brilliant performance for him. And what a way for Toyota to seal a sixth WRC manufacturer's title with Ogier winning, but not only winning, but winning the power stage as well. So it was a classic dominant performance from Seb. Really, really good to see him back, actually. And he's shown no signs of losing anything when it comes to celebrations, because he performed some illegal donuts before the final podium and got fined 1,500 euros.
He claimed he thought he was in the right area to do them, though, in his defense. So that's
he did. But and those the donuts were excellent. No, you're wrong. They were good value donuts, very tasty for the crowd. As I said, but that's Ogier. Like he loves to deliver. He loves to, you know, be flamboyant when he can, and good on him for doing stuff like that, because, you know, the fans love it. It's great. It's great to see, and you know, you just want people to celebrate when you've won, and when certainly when Toyota have won a manufacturer's title, which is said as the sixth. So they now become the third most successful mark in WRC history behind Lancia and Citroen.
Yeah, he had no answer to Rovanpera last time out on the gravel, but had a great weekend. Let's have a listen to what he had to say in the official WRC press conference straight afterwards. Have a listen to this.
From day one, I straight away seen that we really had a good chance to fight for the win. Starting from seven on the road, I knew it was not the best position, and still we were having good time. So I knew from this moment that the speed is there. But then we still needed to bring all together and finish the weekend without trouble. It hasn't been the case often this season for Ben and me. So, very pleased with that. Also very pleased that we secured a title for Toyota. Without them, we will not achieve all of these results. And it's often been... I don't know if I should say my signature, but I always try to win in style my titles, and often I managed to make it with a win. And now we secured, even if we didn't need a win for the manufacturer, we managed with a double podium with Calais to make it happen. So it's great for the whole team. They deserve it, and that's now an even more relaxed Rally Japan, which is coming, which is going to be, of course, another important rally for us.
So listening to him there, Tom, yeah, clearly someone who is, you know, still passionate about the sport, even though only doing a partial campaign. What could 2023 hold for him, if anything?
What we should say is he's very happy with how things are at the moment. He's kind of got the best of both worlds. He will do six rallies this year. He's had a go at Le Mans. He's had a go at a couple of wet rounds before that. And he's also spent a lot more time with his family, which was the sort of key sort of factor in driving his decision to go part-time. So he has gone on record and said, look, I'm happy with how this is going. I want to do this again next year. And obviously Toyota are very keen for that to continue. It is purely, I guess, a case of working out which rallies he wants to do. We know he'll be at Monte Carlo next year, because there's no, I can't imagine a Monte Carlo without him. So he will definitely be there, I'd imagine. But again, this is all sort of plays into this sort of what happens in the driver market. I mean, we think Toyota will announce their driver lineup around Rally Japan, and we're all sort of at this point, before the Tanak announcement, we were like, well, it's just going to be the same as this year. But whether Tanak manages to get himself in there somehow, or who knows, but that could change things. But you'd still think that Ogier would factor in that program somewhere. So, yeah, no, I think it's a good situation for Seb. I think it's good for the WRC to have these legends, the two Sebs, you know, Loeb and Ogier, still being able to contribute, because it just brings an added narrative to the championship and you know, just another sort of cat amongst the pigeons. So, I think we'll see more of Seb next year.
In second place, Neuville, who I'm probably off his Christmas card list.
you will be now,
of this podcast. But again, a really good second place. Really early on in the weekend, it looked like, you know, he could be challenging for the win. That didn't work out that way. Before we have a talk about his weekend, let's have a little listen to what Thierry had to say.
I never really felt bad in the car, and it felt like somehow everything was under control in terms of balance and feeling. We just had a bit of an issue during the weekend where we were missing a bit of feedback in the tricky conditions here and there. I felt like, compared to last year, I was not on the same speed in some of the sections, and in some other it felt quite good. And to be honest, we tried both directions, softer, harder. We worked on the balance of the car. We tried a lot of things, but we never find anything to get that little bit of feedback more we were missing to try to match the times of Sebastian this weekend. I mean, it's like often, and like Sebastian said, he don't know really why he was so strong, and we don't know really why, what was missing. I mean, it's very often like this, and this weekend obviously something was missing to go as fast, but I mean, we weren't far away, and it was still a battle going on at some point.
Okay, Tom, really solid performance over the weekend. What did you make of it?
Yeah, obviously he's much more at home in these sort of gravel rallies. Let's not forget he won this rally last year. So, and that before the Acropolis win of this year, that was his previous victory. So, he's very at home on these stages. He briefly led the rally on Friday. He did look very, very strong at times. If Seb wasn't there, you know, he probably would have won this rally. So, you have to be impressed with Thierry's performance. He has sort of lifted his game somewhat, certainly at this rally. I don't think it can be any faults sort of issued at Thierry's direction for his performance in Spain.
As we get towards the end of the season, we start to get a bit more reflective as well. Now the titles are wrapped up as well, and all the big storylines are starting to get closed off. And just a word on his consistency this year, apart from a bit of a shocker at Sardinia and Ypres, massively consistent over the course of the season. And, you know, solid always sounds like a bit of a backhanded compliment, but just always delivers. What a great year he's had.
When he has a bad sort of bad round in terms of he's not comfortable in the car, I do feel like others can perhaps sometimes extract a bit more when the car isn't suiting them. Mm. You look at the way Tanak performed in Finland. That car was... he was having to fight that car at every single kilometre of the stages, but still won and beat Robin Pera. So, and Thierry openly admitted that Finland isn't his rally. It's not his conditions that he likes. But I think when the going gets tough in terms of the car performance, perhaps Tanak does have the edge on him, but we can't take anything away from Thierry in terms of his hard work and his determination to recover from any situation that seems to be thrown at him is admirable. He's a real fighter in terms of if there's an alternator failure, and he's had a fair few reliability issues this year, and yeah, every time he's got on with it, tried to fix the cars. You know, in terms of Croatia, he physically pushed the thing into the service park with Martin Vidagas. So, you know, you cannot fault his effort. Like, it is brilliant, and he is such a fighter. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. Yeah, as I said, yeah, super solid. He's very reliable, is what I would say. Very rarely does he make a big error. We obviously saw one in Croatia, but you still managed to recover from that and get a podium. So, you know, when you're Hyundai, he's probably the ideal person you want at the moment.
Absolutely. And interestingly, that you wrote a piece for the subscriber area of autosport.com, motorsport.com as well, where you were talking about how Robin Pera had no answer for Ogier this weekend. You titled the article "The Message That the WRC Stalwart Sent," which its new king couldn't answer. Interested to hear why you decided to write that article today.
Like, it's easy to sort of forget Seb in terms of, I wasn't really trying to say that he'd lost his ability, but I just think it was interesting that he issued a timely reminder to say that, hey, like, if he'd been doing a full-time season this year, what a battle we would have seen between him and Cali. Because that was quite a performance in Spain. And that's what I was trying to sort of get at in the terms of, like, we could really have seen such a titanic scrap if he'd had elected to do a full-time season, because I think Cali and Seb going toe-to-toe, as well as Tanak in the mix, I mean, what a trio. If you look at the form that they produced this year, you know, that would have been super exciting. I still think Cali would have had the edge, but that's what I was trying to say, is I think it was just important to sort of reflect on the talent that Seb has, because let's remember, he hasn't had the same amount of seat time in this GR Yaris to everyone else, but yet he's still able to come in and do what he did in Spain. I think that's a remarkable show of talent from him, really. And I guess that's what I was trying to say, is that that Cali, to be fair to him, he said, like, even if he was properly trying to the maximum, he didn't think he could beat Seb on that rally. So that's where I was hitting at. It was that even Cali sort of said, yeah, no, this was Seb's rally. He was untouchable. So, I just think it's a nice narrative to see. Like, I know, you could play devil's advocate, but it would have been nice to see if Seb had just eked out one more full-time season. It would have been lovely to see just how this battle would have unfolded between him and Cali this year.
If you do the numbers, and this is an entirely flawed argument, but if you look at sort of the 12 events that we've had so far and think, well, actually, so Seb's done, what, five of those. What's his average point scoring of the events that he did do, and now assume that that's the average for his season?
You also have to remember with Seb that he's been incredibly unlucky too. Like, let's remember, penultimate stage puncture in Monte Carlo, that rally was his. He had that one until the puncture took that away. So that was a victory that was lost. And then in Portugal and Kenya, he both had punctures there when he was in contention for victory. So you have to say he's been incredibly unlucky. And imagine if those punctures hadn't happened, we could be talking about, you know, maybe two or three more wins.
Absolutely. And all of a sudden, he's into the 200 and something points. And of course, to get those, you then have to take points off your rivals. So, how could it have played out? I love playing these games in sport, because it's the great...
He wouldn't have won, because, you know, obviously Cali is just being phenomenal this year. Yeah. And his consistency and the way he has delivered, I still think that there, you know, in some of those events, there's nobody could have touched him. That's how good he's been. But you're right. If you chalk up, you know, obviously, what ifs are fun games to play, and it happens in all sport, and you know, you can't sort of just get your mind fixated on those. But I guess it's just an interesting situation that, and we should talk about Loeb too, because he's led every rally he has entered this year, but has only won one of them. So. Like, when you factor those guys in, it could have been quite an unbelievable championship had those wins eventuated that we, you know, that looked likely for those said candidates.
We caught up with Robin Pera after the event, and here's what he had to say.
I think you always want the top position, like everybody when you start the rally, but I can be quite happy what we did. I think my feeling was before the weekend that I just want to have a, of course, good result, try to fight for the win if possible. But yeah, try to have a good podium and hopefully celebrate the team championship. Bringing the car home in a good position is nice. But anyway, yeah, Seb was flying this weekend. I think I couldn't match him so well if I even tried my best. So yeah, he really deserved the win this weekend.
Okay, so there's nothing else to fight for as we head towards Japan. I haven't asked you, are you going to Japan?
I will be in Japan, yes.
Yes.
So, excellent news. To round off the season, it's only right that I do the final round. But yeah, as I said, nothing to play for, but in many ways, there's everything to play for because we still don't know who's going to be driving for who for next year. So, yeah, there's still quite a bit, as we said at the start of this podcast, to unfold.
Wow. Well, enjoy Rally Japan. You have another couple of weeks or so for that jet lag to finally go, and then you're back on the plane again. That's going to be an amazing event to go and cover in person.
We should say that this is an all new Rally Japan, so it's in a different location. This is going to be quite something, I think, for the WRC drivers to contend with. You know, it's not something they will have much knowledge of, so this will be a real test of who can adapt on the day. Type of thing, and we should obviously mention that it'll be the home round for Toyota and the home round for Takamoto Katsuta, plenty for Toyota and Takamoto to try and lap up in their home nation.
We seem to say it so much, but you know, wherever the WRC goes, it's always a stunning location. Those shots from the helicam and just the general shots that come out, and Japan's going to be no different. It's going to be amazing to see those stages. Well, look, thank you very much for joining us on the Gravel Notes podcast. We squeeze another one in before you head off to Japan. And over on our other channel on Autosports podcast, we do want to make that program about your co-drive recently. That's already been in the magazine, Autosport magazine, and online, but we want to have a good old chinwag about that on the podcast, hopefully in the next few days, and make sure you subscribe if you're interested to the Autosport channel, as well as all the podcasts over here on Gravel Notes. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.